Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, designing custom bathrooms that fit every personal style. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, February 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen are on recess for the spring election season. That's after the board failed to agree on how to spend nearly $300 million in RAM settlement money.
They didn't have the votes on a full measure, I think for a variety of reasons. One of them being the Trump administration's decision to say it was going to cut federal funding. That really spooked a lot of aldermen.
St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid breaks down what happened and how the board may move forward. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Local officials are bracing for winter weather to move through the metropolitan area through the next day. The National Weather Service expects freezing rain, snow, and sleet in and around St. Louis and St. Louis County, though it's hard to predict at this point what the impact will be. Connor Kerrigan, a spokesman for St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones, says crews are pre-treating the roads through Wednesday. He added the city again will not plow residential side streets.
The reason for this is because our snow plow trucks are really large and we run the risk of knocking off mirrors and burying cars.
Kerrigan says that people who live on snow routes should move their cars if possible. He added the city is asking residents who live on hill routes to park on odd-numbered sides of the streets. President Donald Trump has pardoned Rod Blagojevich of his corruption-related crimes. The former Illinois governor was convicted of several money-making operations while running the state from 2003 to 2009, including trying to sell the U.S. Senate seat vacated by then-President Barack Obama. Blagojevich was impeached, ousted from office, and indicted in 2009. The following year, he appeared on Trump's reality TV show, Celebrity Apprentice. He's denied any wrongdoing. Trump commuted Blagojevich's sentence during his first term after the former governor served 8 of 14 years. Last night, the president announced a full pardon, calling the sentence unjust. A Missouri Senate committee yesterday heard two bills that would repeal limitations on the carry and use of firearms. One bill would ban cities and counties from imposing their own open carry restrictions. The other would make a wide array of changes, including creating a presumption that the use of deadly force is justified in self-defense. Missouri resident Susan Myers spoke in favor of both bills. She says that removing restrictions would allow women to better protect themselves.
Removing dangerous and deadly gun-free zones from Missouri statute continues to be the top priority for women of the state who carry for self-defense.
Missouri already has some of the most permissive gun laws in the nation. The committee also approved a bill that would allow guns on public transportation in that same meeting. The Reverend and activist Daryl Gray again denied allegations yesterday that his wife was trying to catch him in an affair when she took a trip that's at the core of a hearing to consider her firing. The incident involves his wife, personnel director Sonia Jenkins Gray, taking a city vehicle to Jefferson City with a subordinate. She said the travel was to retrieve personal documents. Last month, lawyers representing the city at a civil service commission hearing brought forth the affair allegations, which she denied. Daryl Gray says this is a political attack by Mayor Tashara Jones and that the damage is already done.
I believe that politically it's already a foregone conclusion that my wife is going to get fired anyway.
Lawyers for the mayor have argued Jenkins Gray put a subordinate at risk. The hearing continues today. A St. Louis judge will decide if a now-closed restaurant's lawsuit against its prominent landlords will go in front of a jury. St. Louis Public Radio's Jessica Rogan reports on yesterday's hearing to dismiss the suit.
Brutalim closed its doors in 2023. Owners Laura McNamara and Alberto Juarez said then that the Mexican spot was contaminated with lead dust from an improper build-out. They are suing the building's owner, landlord, and the co-owner of the Del Mar Makers District, where the cafe was located. The defendants dispute the allegation, but Brutalum's lawyer says the space was remediated after the restaurant moved out.
Had they simply done the proper remediation that they eventually did do, we wouldn't be here.
That's Michael Lauder. He says Brutalum will refile if the judge dismisses the lawsuit. I'm Jessica Rogan, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Comptroller Darlene Green is already one of the longest-serving politicians in the city's history. STLPR's Rachel Lippman has more on why she wants to return to the office she's held for nearly 30 years.
Green has won all eight of her elections by wide margins. Since 1995, the city's credit rating has improved, which makes it cheaper to borrow money. Officials have also been able to build up a rainy day fund. Green says those achievements are due to her professionalism, and she says her experience meant that she knew to stop payments to vendors in the building division who are under federal investigation.
When you don't understand payouts, or when you don't understand what your job is, then you could be paying willy-nilly.
Green was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. She faces former State Representative Donna Berenger and accountant Celeste Metcalf in the March primary. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
All three comptroller candidates will appear on the podcast this month. A national media organization announced today that it is opening a newsroom in St. Louis. The Marshall Project is an investigative reporting outlet that focuses on the criminal justice system. The nonprofit's St. Louis operation will cover the metro area and surrounding communities, including parts of Illinois and across Missouri. The newsroom includes journalists recruited from the Kansas City Star, the Boston Globe, and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The Marshall Project St. Louis is partly funded by a grant from the Missouri Foundation for Health and will also cover stories that dive into the way the prison system impacts health in the region. St. Louis Public Radio will no longer be governed by the University of Missouri-St. Louis. The decision by the university ends its partnership with the station of more than 50 years. Joe Manis has more.
The plan to relinquish control over licensing and governance was approved by the University of Missouri's Board of Curators. Negotiations to work out the details are expected to take up to 3 years. St. Louis Public Radio already is responsible for raising its own money to run the station. UMSL has been providing support in areas such as finance, human resources, and technology. The station will continue to operate as usual during the transition with no anticipated changes to programming. University and station executives believe the move to independence will help the station best serve its listeners and readers. I'm Joe Manis for St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was reported and edited by freelance journalists Joe Manis and Tracy Tong, who are working independently of UMSL and STLPR. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen enter their spring elections break this week with no agreement on how to spend nearly $300 million of RAM settlement money. This is after collecting public input for more than a year and months of negotiations and debate between two spending bills. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid covered the whole saga and joins STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum to discuss what happened.
Can you summarize why the board decided against passing any bills divvying up the RAM settlement?
I mean, the short answer is they didn't have the votes.
Okay. Why didn't they have the votes, Eric?
They didn't have the votes on a full measure, I think for a variety of reasons. One of them being the Trump administration's decision to say it was going to cut federal funding. That really spooked a lot of aldermen, saying, whoa, we need to pause. We need to slow down. You know, this is a one-time pot of money that is unrestricted. The city can do anything with it. And if the federal government is posturing that they might not give city governments like St. Louis money in the future, maybe the ways that we've fully allocated it in these bills are not the best ways in the future, given the current climate.
Now, one big subplot on Tuesday was that some members of the board wanted to pass a bill allocating some of the RAM's money for water infrastructure.
Yeah, so that was a measure that was being pushed by Ward 1 Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer, also Ward 9 Alderman Michael Browning. As far as I could tell on Tuesday, the big reason why that faltered or failed was because you had a coalition, a contingent of the Northside aldermen who stood up and said, if you can give money to the water department, then you should give money to North St. Louis. And then there was clearly no agreement that was going to be reached.
Do you see water infrastructure being a key part of any RAM settlement deal if it emerges?
I think it will be a priority, especially because both bills that aldermen had been considering had pretty much identical language on money that would go to the water division.
One of the things I noticed is that Board of Aldermen President Green really wanted to create an endowment to help defray the cost of daycare, particularly for city employees. Can you explain what that plan was?
Yeah, so essentially what that would do is take a portion of that RAMS money and place it in a fund that would kick off money every year. It'd be the interest that would pay to defray the cost of childcare. It would only be hundreds of thousands or a few million dollars a year that would actually go toward this program, and it would be something that the city would pilot. So they would start off and start small and see if it worked and see if people liked it, and then maybe try and expand it based off of the principle of the endowment growing. They could solicit outside investments or donations from the business community or philanthropy. Presumably you could grow that so that the program could grow beyond just city workers to include potentially everybody in the city. There were people during public comment who stood up and said, I don't agree with this. I would say also a lot more people stood up and said, childcare is prohibitively expensive and it is keeping me out of the workforce and I don't want to be out of the workforce.
Is there a timeline on this, and is the delay going to hurt trying to solve some of these problems that aldermen want to solve?
The answer to is there a timeline on this? No, there isn't. The money right now is just in a interest-bearing account. It's going to continue to grow. It started off as $250 million. Now it's up to $300 million, and that's just because of interest. In terms of whether or not a delay will mean more city services don't happen, that is true. You know, the money is in the bank. It is not allocated to departments to fix streets, to invest in water infrastructure, to do neighborhood or community development. You know, whatever the proposals are that aldermen had to actually spend this, those aren't happening, and it will take time for those to actually ramp up once they allocate it in the future.
What will you be watching in the coming weeks?
I will be watching to see who wins the race for mayor, particularly.
Because that's a big elephant in the room. And comptroller, too, because they have say over the Board of Estimate and Apportionment.
Yeah, so it may change the dynamics of what an eventual spending package actually looks like. Even if a bill makes it through the Board of Aldermen to the mayor still has to sign it.
That was STLPR's Eric Schmid talking Rams money with our Jason Rosenbaum. You can hear their full conversation on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air on our website or wherever you get podcasts like this one. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.